Welcome once again. I went to visit Sister Mayfield today, and she said to me, please keep preaching. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The Sister Mayfield makes a request. You better do what you're told. I'm overwhelmed when I think of these old saints, many shut-in, who are working with us in the gospel. 95 years of age and praying for these meetings. An old sister up in Toronto, 96, prays 3 times a day for this fellow behind the poker. Thank the Lord for these praying saints. The hymn just given out by Brother Barnes certainly sums up the subject tonight. Room for Jesus, King of Glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. May them enter while you may. Subject tonight is the saving King. Shall we turn, please, to the book of Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter 9, and reading from verse 1. And there was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorah, the son of Apaiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Now please to chapter 10. And verse 24. Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him, and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Once again the Lord will bless these readings from his precious word. This was a special day in the history of Israel when God gave them a king. He read concerning this king that there was none goodlier than God's choice, Saul the son of Kish. None like him. It be said of him he was tall, dark, and handsome, head and shoulders above his fellow men. But there was an element in the kingdom who said, how can this man save us? And he despised him, and he brought him no presents, but he held his peace. He was a people, and they doubted the ability of King Saul to save them. Secondly, they despised his appointment. And thirdly, they deprived him of his assets. All they could see in this king that God had appointed was that he was the son of a farmer that lost his father's donkeys, his father's asses. And so they doubted his ability. How could this man save? Secondly, they despised his appointment, because we read that he was chosen by God to be Israel's first king. And we read that there was none like him they despise his appointment. And being the king, he could have demanded that they bring tribute, or custom, or revenue, but they would not give this what the king deserved. But to the credit of King Saul, he held his peace. He could have demanded their annihilation, but he held his peace. I want to direct your thoughts tonight to a greater king. The King Eternal, the Invisible, the Immortal, the Only Wise God. The one who's a prince above the kings of the earth. Let me tell you, friend, it's a sad day when men say, how can this man save us? Some in the days of the Lord Jesus, they saw in him that he was just the son of a carpenter. They despised, they doubted his ability, and they despised his appointment. For God said, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And because he is God's appointed king, he deserves everything that we can give him. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. Doubt his ability. Despise his appointment. And deprive him of his assets. He deserves all the praise that we can bring him. For it's in him we live, and move, and have our being. King Saul was unrivaled in his beauty. None like him. He was a goodly young man. Let me tell you, friend, that there is no one just quite like the Lord Jesus. None goodlier than he. The psalmist says, my heart indicteth good matter as I have composed things touching the king. He is fairer than the children of men. Those of us who love him tonight can say there's none like him. None goodlier than Jesus Christ. You say with a bride, my beloved is white and ruddy. The chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water. Washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices. Ah, sweet flower, his lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His inwards is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphire. His bearing is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedar. None goodlier than the Lord Jesus. If we ask the psalmist tonight, what do you think about Christ? The psalmist would say that he was a solitary man, walking in dignity and in unparalleled grandeur. He was a silent man, walking alone for the pleasure of God. None like him. No wonder Peter says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God by wonders, miracles, and signs which God did by him in the presence of you all. He walked a course well-pleasing. to the Lord? If you ask the prophet, what do you think of the Lord Jesus? There's none like him, the prophet would say, why, he was the silent man. As he hung upon the cross, bearing shame and scoffing ruin, in our place condemned he stood, sealed our pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. The psalmist said, there's none like him. And we recall the word of the 40th Psalm, that this one, none like him, was the submissive man. Not only the solitary man going forth sowing the gospel seed by the wayside, and the silent man upon the cross. Oh, we bless God tonight that he was the submissive man. In sacrifices and in offerings there is of no pleasure in, but a body hast thou prepared me. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. None like him, the submissive man. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that you and I may get saved. No man taketh my life from me, I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. If we ask the Apostle John tonight, what do you think of this man? He would say there's none like him. In him was no sin. He was indeed the solitary man, sowing the gospel seed in dignity. He was the silent man upon the cross. He was a submissive man. And thank God tonight, he is the sinless man. There's none like him. Because it was imperative that God send such a man who was head and shoulders above all men, that he might bear your sins and my sins on his own body on the tree. He the just died for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And if we ask John the Baptist tonight, what do you think of Christ? He would say there's none like him. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. None like him. Though I'm happy to tell you tonight, if we ask Paul, what do you think of Christ? He would say there's none like him. He's the successful man. He cried in triumph upon the cross, it is finished. And the work of salvation that was devised in the dateless, timeless part became a blessed reality through the sacrificial man at the place called Calvary. The successful man. And one day you and I we'll see him, the supreme man. But it will depend on your attitude toward him now that will determine how you will see him by and by. Because every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is God's great unavoidable. You and I must bow the knee to Christ either in time or in eternity. To bow the knee now, you can have him as your Savior and your Lord. But to bow the knee in eternity, he will be your judge. Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me into everlasting judgment. None like him. He is the goodly one, unparalleled in his beauty, fairer
than the children of men. And yet, there are those today who doubt the Lord's ability to save. Otherwise, they would get saved. A lady called me today from Nassau. I've worked with her time and time again. She says, Brother Neil, I've got a father and mother in heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I said, why don't you get into your bedroom right now, get down on your knees, and ask the Lord to take over? Capitulate, give up. That's what he wants. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. And he with me, a step of faith, and he can be your Savior tonight. There are those who doubt his ability. When he came into Jerusalem riding upon an ass, they said, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That word Hosanna means to save now. What we wanted was a national salvation. No, the indictment on the nation, the chosen king, went out as a lodger in Bethany the same night. They wanted a national salvation, and he's come to give a personal salvation. And he doubted his ability. And finally said, get rid of him. Crucify him. Crucify him. We shall have this man to reign over us. My dear friend, there's only one man who can save your soul. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. All they could see in him was a carpenter from Nazareth. But let me remind you again, he was God's chosen king. Head and shoulders above every other person that ever lived. Like man he walked, like God he talked. His words were oracles, his works were miracles. Of man the finest specimen. Of God, the true impression. Full orb humanity crowned with deity. No taint of iniquity, no trace of infirmity. Ecce homo, behold the man. Ecce Deus, behold thy God. In chapter 1 of Matthew's gospel that presents the king, there are 42 names mentioned, and there is a threefold division of 14 names in each 14 generation group with an outstanding personality. In the first 14 generation group, you remember it was Abraham, the man that brought the nation out of idolatry, called the father of the faithful. But Abraham could not save his people from their sin. In the second 14 generation group, you remember, it was David, who became the king, who slew Goliath in the valley of Elah. But David, who brought the nation from the heel to becoming the crown of the nation, could not save his people from their sin. And Zerubbabel, who brought the nation out of Babylonian captivity after 70 years. They came with Nehemiah and with Ezra the scribe to build the temple and the wall. But Zerubbabel could not save his people from the sin. And the 42nd name is the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. But he shall save his people from their sins. The saving king is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the 42nd book in our Bible is the Gospel by Luke. And over the Luke's Gospel you can write, Behold the man. None like him. And there are those today and they despise his ability to save. And they'll select every kind of religious leader and pay homage to him. Out there in Oregon was Bhagwan Rajneesh, an Indian, with 90 Rolls Royces, men bowing down before Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, paying homage to a man who robbed the United States government of millions in revenue. Not this man. Here was Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. Jesus alone can say, they doubt his ability. Today, just like King Saul, they despise his appointment. God selected his beloved son to be the mediator between God and man. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, himself man, the man Christ Jesus. Specially selected, God sending his own son. In the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. None like him. And he despise his appointment. God says again in the second psalm, he presents his man in chapter 1, blessed is the man, the first psalm, who never once walked in the counsel of the ungodly, who never once stood in the way of sinners, who never once sat in the seat of the scornful, is the true Hebrew form of Psalm 1, God's man. In Psalm 2 is God's king. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. He was specially appointed by God. Was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And these men from Belial, they not only doubted his ability and despised his appointment, but they deprived him of his assets. They brought him no pleasure. As a member of the human family, you know you owe everything to God. That very breath you just breathe, you owe it to God. Your every movement is controlled by God. You owe everything to him. The clothes you wear, the houses you live in, the boats you own. You owe everything to him. That's why Paul said it in him you live, and move, and have our view. And there's nothing more repugnant to God than an ungrateful heart. And the greatest benefit ever derived by a human being is to have their sins forgiven. And yet some have not taken time out to thank him for what he did at the place called Calvary. Brought him no presents. And tonight he will say to you and to me, son, daughter, give me your heart. You owe it to him. Tomorrow you might not be here. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He wants your allegiance, your confidence, your trust, your faith now. Just a couple of weeks ago, Hank Gaither's an outstanding collegiate basketball player in California. Promising basketball career ahead, with a $1 million contract round the corner, Hank Gaither said, I'm the strongest man in the universe. He said, I'm a true thoroughbred. And the team that get Hank Gaither will get a prize. That day he dropped down dead on the basketball court out in California. Minding us again of the brevity of time, but you know the problem? The problem is we don't think that it will ever happen to us. That's the problem. It will always happen to someone else. The Lord says through his word, you be kind to your soul, for now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You owe everything to him. Take time out to thank him tonight for dying for you. And to the credit of King Saul, when they brought him no presents, he held his peace. You remember when the Savior hung up on the cross? He held his peace. He could have blasted them into eternity right there. But when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed his cause unto God that judgeth righteously. Now there were two kinds of people in the kingdom at the time of Saul, the son of Kish, his appointment. There's a group called, in verse 27, children of Belial. And in the previous verse, there's a people called the men of Gibeah. And these two groups of men had a different reaction to the appointment of the king. It was the sons of Belial who said, how can this man save us? But the sons, the men from Gibeah, you read that God touched their hearts. There was a people who received the king, the men of Gibeah. But there were those that rejected the king, the men of Belial. Now, what group are you in tonight? You either belong to the men of Gibeah, men whose hearts God has touched, or you belong to the men of Belial, who says, this man can't save me. Thank God for everyone here tonight whose heart has been touched by the touch of the Master's hand. Brought you into alignment through salvation into the things of God. Now we ask ourselves the question, how can this man save us? Well, first of all, the Lord tonight can save you graciously. Graciously. is by grace we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So on Lord's Day, in the experience of Moses, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, show me thy glory. Lord said to Moses that day, there's a place by me, and I will put your feet upon a rock, and I will cause my glory to pass by, and I will hide you in the cliffs of the rock, and cover you with my hand. The promises of grace. By grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Again, you can't work for it, and you can't pay for it. Wherefore you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. But you see, friend, it's a gift from God. All you do to enjoy a gift is to take it and save that. He can save you tonight. Gracious God. How can this man save us? This King Eternal? Not only graciously, but immediately. There are those who are trying to attain to salvation. We've talked to men and women, and they say we're trying the best we can. And at the end of life, we hope God will put the things in balance and balance the scales and then give us an entry into heaven. That's the wrong way. I am the way, he says, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because it's not of works, lest any man should go. He can save you tonight, immediately. You remember Zacchaeus, ran ahead of the crowd, no doubt out of curiosity, just to see Jesus, this prophet from Nazareth. As he was passing by, being small of stature, remember he climbed up into the sycamore tree. And Jesus brought him. But curiosity developed into conviction. And the Lord knew his need, because he knows everything. And the Lord comes to the foot of the tree, he looks up into the foliage, and says, Zacchaeus, he knows your name. He knows how you stand, he is spiritually, eternally. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For this day, salvation is come to thy heart. This day, immediately. I'm sure Zacchaeus came down quicker than he went up. Make haste and come down. He took the Lord Jesus Christ home with him, and what a happy home that was. In that customs officer's home, he received the Lord and gave him hospitality. This day, salvation is come to thy house. Right where you are, if you accept the Lord as a personal Savior this very moment, now is the accepted time, almost 25 after it. Now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. There's danger in delay. How can this man save us? Graciously, immediately, and also entirely. Every sin that you ever committed, your transgressions, lawlessness, Everything that you've done that has been distasteful to God can be completely eradicated because of the value of the precious blood. Oh, I love those words. Thy sins and thy iniquities I remember no more. If that's something you can't do or make, if someone does something unsavory to you, I trust you forgive them, but you're like the old elephant, you never forget. One thing about him. The hymn says, I hear the accuser roar of what avails that I have done. I know them all in thousands more. Jehovah knows not one. Completely forgiven. So he saved Saul of Tarsus, the chief of sin. Entirely. Sins past, sins present, and sins future. All taken care of in the precious blood of the Lord. How can this man save us graciously, immediately, entirely, and continually? He saves to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And finally, he saves eternally. No one that ever put their trust in the Savior in faith will ever be lost. Again, we thank God for the eternal security of the believer. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. So there were two classes of men, the men of Gibeah, whose hearts were touched, and the men of Belial, who despised them. I wonder tonight, will you be among those whose hearts God has touched? This can be a glorious reality, if tonight you will come in simple trusting. I was having meetings in Hartford, Connecticut, and there were three brothers also from the Italian band, like the Centurion we saw the other evening. They were traveling around in the car, and one said to the other two brothers, you know, remember, we promised Mother at least occasionally to go to a gospel meeting. So they dropped in that night in Hartford, in Prospect Street, Hartford, Connecticut, and I was preaching. When the meeting was over, the three boys came up to me, and the older one, George Brescia, said, Mr. Dougal, I would give anything to see my soul saved and see my mother again in glory. Very successful businessman. I said, George, the answers are here. So I sat down with these three men that night. What a thrill it was for George Brescia and his brother Billy to put their trust in the Savior. Number three, Joe Brescia did not come through. A week later, I was in Victoria, British Columbia, with J. Boyd Nicholson Sr. having meeting. We just got on our knees from praying, and I said to my colleague, let's pray again for Joe Brescia back down there in Hartford, Connecticut. We just got on our knees, and the phone rang. It was Peggy. I just got a phone call. He's trusted the Savior. I went to the meeting that night, overcome with joy, and a mention about these three boys. And I put their trust in Christ. Visiting Victoria, British Columbia, was a student from Switzerland. And at the end of that meeting, she said to me, what was good enough for the Brescia boys back in Hartford, Connecticut, is good enough for me. That dear girl from Switzerland got saved that night. Men and women whose hearts God has touched. Now the luxury of going back for the baptism. I'll never forget it as long as I live. There was a family on a pew this side, several pews this side and this side. The chairman was giving out the hymns and George Brescia said, "My brother, could we sing my mother's favorite hymn? What is the number?" And we got the number. And I tell you, that building rocked that night. The memory of a loving mother in glory touched these boys' hearts. They were baptized. And what a joy it was to see them identifying themselves with the Lord Jesus. Many of you have got loved ones in glory. I trust the language of your heart will be this. Meet, be there. Put your trust in Christ. Be with those whose hearts have been touched. Don't be like these hard men of Belial who say, "How can this man say this?" Jesus alone can say, "Shall we go?" Gracious Father, we thank thee that this is still the day of salvation. The Lord is a saving King, and tonight he's willing to save to the uttermost all that will come to Christ. Lord, would you pray that tonight thou shalt take care of thy work. There are many friends, and they've been prayed for night after night, in tears. Lord, would you pray that their hearts will be touched tonight, and they'll go out like Lydia, the seller of purple from Thyatira, a woman whose heart the Lord touched. Or like the thief on the cross, a man whose heart the Lord touched, or a boy or a girl. Lord, we long to hear the cry of a newborn babe crying, "What must I do to be saved?" Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Thank you for this lovely man, the altogether lovely one. The fairest of 10,000 to our soul. Make him attractive to saint and to sinner tonight. As you ask it in his precious name. Amen. Shall we close our service tonight? This was specially requested by Amanda two nights ago, and I thought, well, if it fits in with the message, sure. 724. Christ is all. None like him. The altogether lovely. I entered once a home of care. Old age and penury were there, yet peace and joy with all. I asked the lonely mother whence, her helpless widowhood to thank, she told me, Christ was all, none like him.